read the entire psalm. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. The heading of this psalm, I'm sure your Bibles have this heading. We see that it is a psalm of David. A psalm of David. As far as the format of the psalm, it is a prayer. We see through the entire psalm, David is talking to the Lord, speaking to God. He addresses him as God, Elohim, three times. He addresses him as Lord two times in the psalm, or Jehovah. As far as the time frame, we don't know the time frame. The occasion of the psalm, no doubt, is one of affliction and helplessness. The subject is God's deliverance or God's help. That's what the psalmist is praying for. The mood of the psalm is one of sorrow, one of anxiety, seen in the fourfold use of the little word O. We see it twice in verse 1 and twice in verse 5. That's a word of exclamation. We see the spirit of the psalm is one of fervency, one of great eagerness. We see that also in verses 1 and 5, the word haste, make haste, a word that conveys the idea of hurry. Hurry, Lord, do it quickly. Also in verse 5, we see David uses the phrase, make no tarrying, which goes along, of course, with make haste. That is, answer without hesitation or delay. David did not feel that he could afford to be delayed in this matter, so it's a psalm of urgency. The 70th psalm occurs with some variations in Psalm 40, verses 13 through 17. A much longer psalm, but in verses 13 through 17 of Psalm 40, we see this 70th psalm. Also, it has a very definite connection to both the 69th psalm and the 71st psalm, which also are psalms of prayer. And also, the occasion in those psalms is one of affliction, a sense of helplessness and urgency. We see here in Psalm 70 and verse 1, there is a plea for deliverance. Deliver me. Deliver me. Make haste to help me. And then he closes in verse 5 with a note of confidence, with a note of assurance. Thou art my help and my deliverer. In other words, the reason I'm coming to you and asking you for deliverance is because you are my deliverer. The reason I'm coming to you and asking for help is because you are my helper. So he had confidence, he had assurance of that. And reading through the 70th Psalm, we see it's obvious, of course, that David had an awareness of his desperate need of God's help. And we saw this morning that if we look at our life, we see that it's marked by Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And that's true all every step of the way. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That ought to fill us with gratitude. That ought to fill us with praise. It ought to give us a firm persuasion that God is, God has been, God is, and God shall be our helper. It gives us confidence. It gives us assurance that God will be our helper. And seeing our path is marked by Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, that ought to cause us to live in the awareness of our need of God's help. We need to live every day, every moment of every day, in the awareness and the consciousness of, I need God's help. I need for God to help me. So David was very, very aware. He had a consciousness. He had a mindfulness about himself and about God. And he had this mindfulness, and that being said, we can be mindful about many things that are not beneficial to us. In fact, they're destructive to us. But this is one thing that we need to be mindful of, because it'll be beneficial to our souls, and that is God's help. So we want to speak tonight in living life in the awareness of our need of God's help. And as you read through this 70th Psalm, you see, first of all, that there was an awareness of danger. There was an awareness of the danger that David is in. In verse 2, we see David's alertness. He speaks of those in verse 2 that seek after my soul, and they desire my hurt. Now, in the previous psalm, in Psalm 69 and verse 1, he says, the waters are come into my soul, into my soul. In Psalm 71, verse 10, they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. And in verse 13, he speaks of the adversaries to my soul. Now, the world, of course, is beset with a variety of danger. Every place we go, and on our way to those places, there are dangerous possibilities that exist all the time. We are beset with hazards, perils, pitfalls, but the greatest hazard, the greatest peril is to the soul. And that's what David makes reference to. There is no greater danger than the dangers to our soul. And he prays here in Psalm 69. Again, he mentions the waters coming into a soul. Psalm 71, he speaks of the adversaries of a soul. And here in Psalm 70, he speaks of those that seek after my soul. It's spiritual danger. Spiritual danger is of far greater consequence than any physical danger you'll ever experience. And David was aware of the spiritual dangers of the soul. He was very much aware of the fact that there were enemies to his soul. Those who seek to bring us down spiritually are enemies. They're the worst kind of enemies. And all around us are people and philosophies and reasonings and views and ways that seek to destroy our soul, that seek to destroy us spiritually. We are constantly bombarded with those things that seek to destroy our soul, things that seek to turn us away from right thinking. To me, right thinking is biblical thinking. If you think biblically, you're thinking right. If you think unbiblically, you think wrong. There are all kinds of people, all kinds of philosophies today that try to turn us away from biblical thinking and right perception. And right perception is biblical perception and right priorities. Right priorities is God is first. God is first. That's right priorities. There's things all around us that seek to turn us away from that which is holy. That which is set apart and pure. Seeks to turn us away from prayer and the Word of God. And the ways of God and the worship of God. These are enemies. And the world is filled with fierce and furious, conniving, deceitful forces that are absolutely relentless and determined in the seeking of our soul. It's not just seeking our physical harm. It's our soul. It's our soul. They seek to draw us away from God. Seek to distract us spiritually. Seek to distract us from God. These are all great dangers. And we, every single one of us, face these dangers every single day. And there is the incessant influence of evil that seeks to swallow us up spiritually. Again, our souls are in danger. David realized this. He had an awareness. He didn't say, these people are after my life. They were. But he saw the deeper meaning. That is, they seek my soul. They seek to harm me spiritually. You think of all the things that we're bombarded with that just zap spiritual strength and stunt spiritual growth. And you think of all the forces that try to sever us from having fellowship with the Lord. David was aware that there were evil forces after his soul. Notice also he says here in Psalm 70, they desire my hurt. They desire. That is, they aspire, they yearn, they're eager. They're determined for my hurt. That is, they're eager to injure me, to wound me. Now perhaps he's talking physically. They're eager to disable me, to damage and weaken and to ruin. And again, this can be spiritual as well. But David was very well aware that there were dangers all around him. There were dangers everywhere. That's always so. Even when you feel great peace, there's dangers everywhere to your soul. Demons are everywhere. And they are a danger. They are a force of evil. Oh, may we always be aware of the danger. Then notice in verse 3, let them be turned back for reward of their same that say, aha, aha. There's the implication there that the enemy was triumphing. There's a sense of discouragement. There's a sense of defeat. These are great dangers. Discouragement is a great danger. A sense of defeat is a great spiritual danger. So we must always be aware of the spiritual enemies that are seeking to triumph over us, filling us with a sense of defeat and discouragement. They seek to build mighty fortifications in our minds and in our hearts. And once the devil builds fortifications in your mind and your heart, you're in a bad way. These are great dangers. Looking through the psalm, we also see there was an awareness of self. David had an awareness of himself. In verse 5, he says, I am. I am. That speaks of a state of being. I am. And all what we can insert after those two words on any given day. I am. The truth is, we can get in a state that is very dangerous to our soul. He says, I am. He says, I am poor and needy. And we can get in a state that is more dangerous to us than the threats and the perils that are all around us. If you were to read through the Psalms, you see David uses this phrase, I am, several times. Psalm 6, verse 2, he says, I am weak. Are there not times that we can say that? I am weak. I am weak. The truth is, there's some truth to that all the time. In Psalm 6 and verse 6, he says, I am weary with my groaning. In Psalm 22, verse 14, I am poured out like water. That is, it was wasted. We see also that Psalm 25, 16, I am desolate. Psalm 31, 9, I am in trouble. Psalm 31, 22, I am cut off. Psalm 38, 6, I am bowed down greatly, feeling a great weight, pressing down upon him. Psalm 38 and verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. Psalm 38, verse 17, I am ready to halt. I'm ready to stop. I'm ready to quit. Psalm 39:10, I am consumed. That is, there's nothing left. Psalm 40, verse 12, I'm not able to look up. We've all been there. Not able to look up. Psalm 69:2, I am come into deep waters. Psalm 69:20, I'm full of heaviness. Psalm 77:4, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Psalm 88, verse 15, I am afflicted. And then he went on to say, I am distracted. Psalm 102, verse 11, I am withered like grass. Psalm 109, 23, I am tossed up and down. And in Psalm 119:83, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Well, that means he's become fragile. He's about ready to crack. And then we hear him say here in our text, I am poor and needy. And he would repeat that in Psalm 40, verse 17, Psalm 86, verse 1, Psalm 109, verse 22. I am poor and I am needy. And all of this should be taken in the context of what he prays. When he says, I am poor and needy in verse 5, it should be taken in the context of what he prays in verse 1. God, deliver me. God, help me. What he's saying is, I am unable in and of myself to deliver myself. I am unable in and of myself to help me. I have a necessity. The necessity was he needed deliverance. He needed help. So we see the psalmist was aware of danger. Most importantly, the danger to his soul. But he was also very much aware of who he was. In and of myself, I need help. I'm poor and needy. Also, you read through the psalm, you see there was an awareness of need. He's aware of the danger that's all around him. He's aware of his danger to himself. Not only is there danger all around us, but we are a danger to ourselves. And he's also aware of his inability and his insufficiency in himself. And in verse 1, he's aware of what he needs. I need deliverance. I need help. And this deliverance and this help is of divine nature. And that's why he prays, O God, deliver me. O Lord, help me. He needed deliverance of a divine nature. He needed help of a divine nature. Again, here in verse 1, make haste. Make haste. That is, hurry. Deliver me. Rescue me. Liberate me. Release me. And hurry. There's an urgency. He feels a great need. And he also prays, help me. Help me. Again, give me aid. Relieve me. Cure me. Prevent me. Enable me. And on we can go. There's so many forms of help. Both requests are personal. Deliver me. Help me. I know who I am. David is saying. And I need you to deliver me. And I need you to help me. So there was a realization of personal need. Now both words, deliver and help, imply the presence of a problem. The presence of a difficulty. The presence of a concern or a distress or a trial or a grief or a heartache or a misery or some sort of suffering, some sort of shortcoming, a failure, a weakness. The very words deliverance and help imply great need. And again, his awareness of the need is acute. Make haste, O God. Make haste, O Lord. And in verse 5, make haste unto me, O God. O Lord, make no tarrying. Again, he's praying, Lord, hurry. I need deliverance and I need it now. I need help and I need it now. There was an urgency. And again in the following psalm, Psalm 71, verse 12, he says, make haste for my help. Make haste for my help. Again, it reveals the urgency that David felt concerning his need. He doesn't even really go into the details of the enemy. He just says, they seek after my soul. That can mean a lot of things. But he knows the one thing he needs. Deliverance and help. And he feels that it's very pressing. Make haste. Make no tarrying. He's desperate. The situation is very critical. The situation is very grave. It's a top priority. Make haste, O Lord. The question is, do we see our spiritual needs as such? They are top priority. There is a sense of urgency about our spiritual needs. Again, we said this morning that help comes in many different forms. It means to give assistance or aid. Do we feel the urgency, the need of God's assistance, God's aid? It means to relief, to relieve. Do we feel the urgency that God relieve us? Means to cure, means to prevent, and on we could go. The question is, do we feel an urgency of these needs? So David is very much aware of the danger that lurks all around him. You can't just go through life happy-go-lucky, oblivious to the forces that are all around you. You have to be aware of the danger that lurks everywhere. It's everywhere. Even when you come into the house of God, there's danger. He's very much aware of the danger that he is to his own self. And he's very much aware of his own insufficiency. And he's very much aware of his need. These things by themselves, if all you think about is the danger, you'll go into a state of utter fear and despair. But there's something more to it. There was also an awareness of God. Again, if all we have is an awareness of the danger, all we have is the awareness of ourself, and all that we have is an awareness of our need, that will produce a sense of hopelessness. But David in verse 5, he says, I am. And then notice what he says, thou art. I am, thou art. And whatever you and I can put after I am, we also have to follow it with, thou art. So he's viewing all of his needs in the light of who God is. And we need to see ourselves in the light of who God is. I am, thou art. There was an awareness of who and what God was. Thou art. I am, present tense. Thou art, present tense, right now. Whatever the I am is concerning you and I, thou art. Thou art. That changes everything. Thou art. He goes on to say, thou art my personal help and my deliverer. He's saying, I need help, I need deliverance, and you are what I need. That's always so. God is always what I need. There's never a time that's not so. Doesn't matter what you put after I am. God is what you need. He's saying, I need help, I need it right now. I need deliverance, and I need deliverance right now. And you right now are my help and are my deliverer. Psalm 121 verse 2, he said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help cometh continually, ongoing, from the Lord. And then he adds, who made heaven and earth. That is, my help comes from Creator God. The God who created all things. My help comes from Him. You think of the power of God in creation. My help cometh from Him. You think of the wisdom of God in creation. And my help cometh from Him. Creator God is sovereign. Creator God is the sovereign monarch of the universe. He reigns supreme with absolute authority and control. He's over all. He's beyond all. He has absolute dominion. And He's my helper. What else do you need? Creator God is omnipotent. His almighty power reaches all things. None can defeat His counsels. None can thwart His purposes. And He's my helper, is what David is saying. God is my helper. Creator God, the all-knowing God, the God who knows me, the God who knows everything that concerns me, the God who knows everything in the future about me, the God who knows how. He is my helper, is what David is saying. Yes, there's danger all around, but Thou art my deliverer and my helper. Creator God is omnipresent. He's above us. He's beside us. He's behind us. He's before us. He's beneath us. He's in us. There's nowhere you can go where He isn't. And He's my helper. This is very encouraging. And David is absolutely certain that this is so. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is a very present help in trouble. There's nothing more present than God. And God is a very present help in trouble. He has everything I need. And He's my helper. He loves me. He has my best interest in mind. And He's my helper. We need this vivid realization. I need help. And only God's help is going to do. I need deliverance. Not just deliverance from trial and difficulty, but deliverance from self. And God is our helper. In Psalm 12, verse 1, David prayed, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The godly man ceaseth. That is very true right before our eyes today. The godly man ceaseth. That can happen in a number of different ways. He can die. He can become disabled. He can go off in error. But there's no denying it today. The godly man ceaseth. Help, Lord. We can get our eyes on the fact that the godly man ceaseth, and we can stay there, we can dwell there, but that won't help us any. Or we can say, the godly man ceaseth, Thou art my deliverer. Thou art my help. Psalm 30, verse 10, Lord, be Thou my helper. Lord, be Thou my helper. We ought to pray that every day. Psalm 60, verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of men. Give us help from trouble. Psalm 109, 26, help me, O Lord, my God. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks of the throne of grace where we can find help in time of need. Avail yourself of the help of God. Every day, fix your attention upon Him. When you're exhausted, seek His help. When you're fearful, seek His help. When you lack peace, when you lack strength, when you lack resolve, seek His help. When you begin to live for yourself, seek His help. When you begin to feel a distance from God, seek His help. When you need reviving, seek His help. When you're faced with trials and difficulties and needs and obstacles and sorrows and burdens, seek His help. When everything's going right, seek His help. Seek His help every day. You cannot go wrong praying, "Help me, Lord. Help me." When your mind gets in a cycle that's not productive, and we all do that, you need to stop and pray, "Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, break this loop." He can do it. Oh, you can, man has all kinds of formulas, but let me tell you, nothing works better than, "Help me, God. Help me." Every single day we need help, and He's the help that we need. Every day. He is the help that we need. As we said this morning, we need to believe Him. We need to pray to Him. We need to trust Him. We need to lean upon Him. We need to walk with Him. We need to go with Him. We need to talk with Him. We need to cast all upon Him. And you need to do so fervently and earnestly, as if your very life depended upon it, because it does. And that's what David is praying here. Make haste, O God. Make haste. He says, "Lord, my life depends upon it." And so does ours. We need the help of the Lord. May we always be aware of that. And the best way that we can help others is that God help us. If we can be of any help to anybody. And if we can encourage them, your help is in the Lord. Your help is in Him. Cry out to Him, "Help." And there's nothing wrong with just praying, "Help. Lord, help. Help." But oh, how thankful we ought to be that God is our help. That there is help. We're not left without help. Somebody will say, "Oh, I had this trial and nobody in the church helped me." Well, you should have prayed, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." The Lord's help's better than anyone else's help anyway. "Lord, you help me." Oh, may we go to Him every day, praying for His help. And again, as we said this morning, if we were to go back, walk down the winding road of our life, every step of the way, there's God's help, even when we didn't know it. And God is helping even when you don't know it, even when you don't realize it. Don't ever say, "God isn't doing anything." If that were the case, you wouldn't be able to speak. You wouldn't breathe. God's always doing. God's always working. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. And just because you don't see God's help doesn't mean that it's not happening. It happens all the time. And that's why we can say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That's true individually. That's true collectively as Home Baptist Church. hitherto that the Lord helped us. And therefore, we are confident that He will continue to do so. And we base that upon not who we are, but we base it upon who He is. He will help. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.